From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Delighted that you've joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues his series of studies in the book of Joshua as he brings the last portion of a message called The Altar of Witness. First, we invite your attention to this devotional thought from Faith's Checkbook by Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Our devotional for today is entitled, Exceedingly Precious. The text is found in Malachi chapter 3, verse 17. They shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels. A day is coming in which the crown jewels of our great king shall be counted, that it may be seen whether they answer to the inventory which his father gave him. My soul, wilt thou be among the precious things of Jesus? Thou art precious to him, if he is precious to thee, and thou shalt be his in that day, if he is thine in this day. In the days of Malachi, the chosen of the Lord were accustomed so to converse with each other that their God himself listened to their talk. He liked it so well that he took notes of it, yes, and made a book of it, which he lodged in his record office. Pleased with their conversation, he was also pleased with them. Pause, my soul, and ask thyself, if Jesus were to listen to thy talk, would he be pleased with it? Is it to his glory and to the edification of the brotherhood? Say, my soul, and be sure thou sayest the truth. But what will the honor be for us poor creatures to be reckoned by the Lord to be his crown jewels? This honor have all the saints. Jesus not only says, they are mine, but they shall be mine. He bought us, sought us, brought us in, and has so far wrought us to his image that we shall be fought for by him with all his might. If you have been blessed by the beautiful sacred music which forms a part of Let the Bible Speak, you may obtain a CD containing a sampling of these Christ-honoring selections. Entitled Our Great Redeemer's Praise, this CD will provide you with nearly an hour of such beloved pieces as Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven, Be Still, My Soul, May the Mind of Christ My Savior, and In Heavenly Love Abiding. These songs are performed by the various musical groups of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. This CD is available free of charge to our Let the Bible Speak listeners. To obtain a copy, you may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular mail. You may call 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Ask for your free copy of Our Great Redeemer's Praise. Call or write for your copy today. The tribes of Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh had fulfilled their promise to go to battle with the other tribes in the conquest of Canaan. Their possession was on the east side of the Jordan. But shortly after their departure for those lands, word came to Joshua that they had built an altar of their own. Jumping to the conclusion that those tribes were guilty of apostasy, the 9.5 tribes prepared to go to war with them. When Joshua learned that the altar on the east bank was intended only as a memorial, not as a place of sacrifice, tragedy was averted. From this account, Dr. Cairns has been drawing a parallel between the altar and the cross of Christ as a permanent witness to the gospel privileges and duties of God's people. The altar reminds us to battle against apostasy. Also, God's people need to focus on that which unites them in Christ, rather than on their personal or denominational distinctives. At the same time, believers must remember that there is no unity except upon the basis of gospel doctrine. The Bible is clear that there is to be no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Finally, we'll see the necessity of keeping the cross of Christ central in the worship of God's people. It is as we live out the pattern of the cross in our lives that others will come to see Christ in us. Now to conclude this message, the altar of witness, here is Dr. Cairns.
Let's get this. The purity of the gospel's doctrine is the basis for gospel unity. Let me make it clear from this chapter that apostasy from the gospel is a cause for war, not for fellowship. 9.5 tribes, when they smelt apostasy, they were ready for war. At least we can admire their fidelity to their God in this. Apostasy is not a matter for fellowship, it is a call to war. John says in 2 John, if there come unto you and any man that brings not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. And then he adds this statement of basic principle: he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. He's saying you cannot simply go along with apostates, deniers of the gospel, and say, well, we are going along together at such a rate, to such a place, but then I want to step off. Can't do that. You can't do it. You become a partaker of the evil deeds of that apostate. Paul said to the Ephesians, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. He told Titus in chapter 1, verse 10, that there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers whose mouths must be stopped. We must put a gag on them. Does that sound like the inclusivism of the 20th century? Does that sound like the lovey-dovey fellowship that we find masquerading as Christian love and charity? No, no. Paul, whoever had a greater heart of love among all the apostles than Paul? Whoever was willing to burn himself out more readily out of love for saints and sinners than the Apostle Paul? But yet, he says, these people must not be helped. They must be stopped. They must be gagged. Apostasy is a call to war. I hope that this church never loses its willingness to stand up and fight for what Dr. Paisley always likes to quote from the Covenanters as the crown rights of King Jesus and the crown jewels of his gospel. I have no interest in fighting people because they are Baptist or Lutheran or Methodist or whatever. I have no interest in fighting for fighting's sake. God save us from it. And as much as lies within us, let us live at peace with all men. But when it comes to the central doctrines of the gospel, when the glory of the person and work of Jesus Christ comes under attack, let us not be found wanting. We must be willing to say that is a call to war. The final thing that I will say is that the cross is a witness to the necessity of the ministry of the gospel among God's people. There's a very interesting thing here. The 2.5 tribes saw the necessity of the means of grace, the public means of grace. They knew they had to be able to worship at the tabernacle in Shiloh. They were afraid that they would be cut off from that worship, and so they raised the altar of Ed. It was a token of the joint communion of God's people. Now that altar speaks of Christ. Hebrews 13:10, we have an altar whereof they have no right to eat that serve the tabernacle. The altar, the cross, is not just a place of personal salvation, it is also a place of corporate worship. The cross calls believers to the public means of grace. That's why Christ has made the preaching of the cross central to public worship. That's why he has made the Lord's table, which is the remembrance of the cross, central to the worship of his people. That's why Paul says we must not forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. The cross, yes, it is the place of our personal salvation, but the cross is God's call to God's people to the public ministry of the Church of Christ. Now, I'm going to be very straight with you today. And American Christians are more likely to be open to criticism here than most. This is the country of individualism, and that is one of the great strengths of the country. But individualism is a curse when it comes to the spiritual realm. I want you to understand me clearly here, that the wanton neglect of the ministry of the church is nothing more or less than a deliberate hardening of the heart against the cross of Jesus Christ. That's a strong statement, but it's true. The public means of grace are not there just to be taken or left at your will. The public means of grace are not optional. To put it in very simple, down-to-earth language, the holy sounding, backsliding of a lot of Christians goes like this. Well, you know, I can pray at home. You don't need to go to church to meet with the Lord. You meet with the Lord at home. Oh, it sounds so holy. Because you see, implicit in it is, when I am not at church and I'm at home, I am praying. And when I keep away from church, I'm at home because I'm meeting with the Lord. I have to be careful what I want to say here, because I'd end up sounding a little sarcastic. But I am more likely to believe Alice in Wonderland than I'd likely to believe that. Let's get it clearly. God has set the ministry of His church as a public means of grace for the glory of His name, for the good of His people, for the strengthening of the body of Christ, and for the evangelism of sinners. Matthew Henry talked about this, and he says, those that are cut off from public ordinances are likely to lose all religion and will by degrees cease from fearing the Lord. And he makes this very insightful statement. Though the form and profession of godliness are kept by many without the life and power of it, yet the life and power of it will not be long kept without the form and profession. I want to tell you, if you willfully and wantonly absent yourself from the public meeting of the body of Christ, your spiritual life will decline. It will go down, and you can protest all you like, oh well, I can meet with God at home. We all should meet with God at home. It's not either or. This is not just for yourself. This is for your children. Parents teach their children by everything they do as well as what they say. Children grow up to despise the ministry of God's word. You tell them, oh, this is important. But why is it important when the slightest little excuse that comes along is good enough for you to absent yourself from the public preaching of the word? Why should they believe it's important? It'll be a miracle out of the ordinary if they do, because it will be in spite of the testimony of their parents. Matthew Henry again put it this way. those who have themselves found the benefit of God's ordinances cannot but desire to use, preserve, and perpetuate the entail of them. By that he means their continuance as an inheritance, the entail of them upon their seed. My friend, the ministry of God's church is a necessity. And every time you come to the cross, remember, it is the cross that stands in the midst of the assembly of the saints. Not some wooden emblem, but the reality of the cross. We meet around a common mercy seat. We meet around the blood atonement of our Savior. The cross witnesses the necessity of the ministry of the gospel. And of course, if it does so, it witnesses to the means of sanctification among God's people. I leave you with this little picture as you look at Joshua 22. How did the tribes there live? They lived within sight of the altar of witness. How should Christians live their lives? Within sight and memory of the cross of Jesus Christ. Never let the cross be far from your conscious thinking. That's the key to sanctification. If you learn that, you can let all the theories and all the schools of thought on the subject go by the board. You could never read a book on sanctification, but if you've learned to live your life in the constant and conscious sight of the cross, you will have learned the message and the meaning of sanctification. But there's another way to take it. It's this, that the best evidence of our faith in Christ is the pattern of his cross in our lives. There were those tribes. They had the pattern of the altar in their midst. They were professing faith. What did they see as the best evidence of faith? The pattern of his cross, his altar in their midst. What is the pattern of the cross in our lives? It is dying unto sin and to the flesh. It is living unto God. It is the pattern of the cross that says with Paul, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Paul said to the Romans in Romans 6:11, reckon yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. That is keeping the pattern of the cross in your life. I've often quoted to you the words of the old gospel hymn, I think by Fanny Crosby, Jesus, keep me near the cross, there a precious fountain free to all, a healing stream flows from Calvary's mountain. In the cross, be my glory ever. Is that your prayer this morning? The cross is a permanent witness to the gospel privileges and to the gospel duties of the people of God. I trust we will learn to live our lives in the sight of Calvary, with the cross in our hearts as well as on our lips, dying to self, dying to sin, dying to lust, dying to pride, putting off the old man, living in righteousness and resurrection, life and power unto our Redeemer. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Let's all pray. Father in heaven, bless thy word. Write it indelibly on our hearts. We thank thee for the blood and the sacrifice of Christ once for all at Calvary. We thank Thee for the witness that His cross bears to us. We thank Thee for the gospel privileges we have, for the gospel duties that come with them. Yea, Lord, even the duties are privileges, and we thank Thee for them. Lord, keep us near the cross. O God, fix our hearts and our minds, our lives, on the centrality of the person and work of our blessed Savior. Let us live our lives as a constant reaction to Calvary. O God, we pray, grant that individually and as a church, we may know the witness of the cross in all its glorious fullness. Hear us now. Keep us faithful to Thee. Part us with Thy blessing. Keep us in Thy fear. Be the abiding portion of all Thy blood-bought church today and evermore. We ask in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.